little after 2, so in order to keep us on time, I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order.
Yeah.
If everybody could stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Here.
Len, if you could do the roll call, please.
Trustee Davis.
Here.
Trustee Doherty is absent. Trustee Dye.
Here.
Trustee Freckleton.
Here.
Trustee Holness is absent. Trustee Howard.
Here.
Trustee Lloyd is absent. And Trustee Labai.
Here.
Any public participation?
No requests.
Thank you. With that, we'll go right into the public hearing of policies.
Okay, that's Ryan.
Thank you and good afternoon. We have approval for sections 5 and 6 of the college policies. This is part of the SACS requirement. All the departments have put in their input, and we've got to thank Karen for corralling everything and keeping it going, because it goes through 2 readings through our President's Cabinet, and then to the departments also. We'll go through these as a group, if that's okay, Mr. Chair.
That'd be great.
Section 5.01 on bonds is changed just to specify the statute. 5.02, there's no change. 5.03 is to delete on the budget. No, it's to delete titles and change those titles. 5.04 is a deletion of the charity racing days. It is no longer applicable. 5.05 and 5.06, no changes. 5.07 on bank depositories is to add language on wiring instructions and also to change title. 5.08 on contracting authority, it deletes an old statute number, and we'll just keep it'll be whatever current statute there is. 5.09 and 5.10, no changes. 5.12 is on surplus property and adds a statute number and kind of changes the language related to the statute. 5.13, 5.14, and 5.15, no changes. 6, or
yeah, you can go ahead and do, we'll do it.
Okay. Section 6 is compliance with policies. That's just to add the word they. 6.02 is to add the words developing curriculum. Statute of policy 6.04 through 6.19, no changes. 6.21 is just to remove the word community from community college. 6.22 and 6.24 there are no changes. 6.25 on overtime is to change a word from compensation to compensatory. 6.27 to 6.44, no changes. 6.45 on workplace violence is just to change the word from insure to insure with an E. And 6.46, no change.
Have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Next is the consent agenda. Do I have any items that somebody wants to pull out or remove? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Consent agenda passes. Dr. Labasso, over to you. I did.
You did, okay. Thank you. Again, thanks again, Dr. May, for a great workshop. And in front of you, Betty Holness had ask that we share with you all some of the clippings we have done to celebrate National Community College Month. So that's in front of you there to show the different things we did to promote Community College Month, and it's something that's like a national recognition. So that's in front of you there for your reference. And also, I want to take a moment to introduce someone that has been appointed as an interim dean of student affairs. Keith Kennedy is out on some leave at the moment. So Charisse Ramos, if you wouldn't stand and introduce yourself. There you go. Yes. Sharice has been with us how many years now?
A little over 3 years,
and hit the ground running. We were able to get her from Palmer College, Chiropractic College, and is the director of student accounts, has real strong administrative skills, and very student-oriented. So she's stepping in, and you know, in Keith's absence, and is, you know, taking the horns with preparing for a residence hall and all that fun stuff, and getting the student activity side of the house ready to have activities this fall. So so thank you, Sharice. It's been busy since our last meeting. We had a tour of the ATC with the Volusia County School Board, a school board member, as well as the superintendent and his staff. To again, they had not been at the ATC, so we had a good tour there, and a lot of good collaboration going on. We, with Mainland High School, I believe we have registered more than we can take, I think. So we got to figure out students in our welding program for dual enrollment. So it's great to see that collaboration taking place. What was it, 30, Eric, or 25? Michelle, is Michelle here? 28, somewhere in the middle there. So we're excited to have that. So these are high school kids that are going to have a credential to make like $60 an hour when they... right with that credential. So we're excited about that. So a lot of good collaborative things going on as well. Later in the agenda, we have Brian will bring up another agreement that we talked about. These are like our programs. When you think of our, what the presentation, the workshop was today, the one of the great parts of that program is what? The part where the student is in the classroom getting that teaching experience, right? So we've done that with our automotive program through FAME, and we're doing that now with construction into the Homes Bring Hopes program. So these practical experiences, whenever we're able to take advantage of those, I think, again, separates us from other institutions. Had a luncheon again. We have a small hospital, Advent Health, in New Smyrna Beach, that wanted to get to know us a little bit better. So we hosted them and gave them a tour of our facility, and talked about some collaborative opportunities there. Participated in the UCF Direct Connect annual partner meeting to talk about the partnership. And second time I've had the pleasure of talking with the not so new president at UCF, but. So again, the Direct Connect program is a national model, and we're happy to be part of that. We hosted Enterprise Florida a week or so ago, and that was a great way. We highlighted our beverage science program as well as our culinary program, and had all the business leaders around the state here on campus. And then we had staff education days, brought back. Dr. Terrell Strayhorn, and gave a great presentation here at the college. We had him 3 years ago, and then brought him back, and he did a great presentation. He, strengthened in diversity and belonging, and was really impressed on the things we've been doing here at the college for many years. And then tonight, right after this, I'm heading down to Orlando to participate in the Council of Presidents reception for the legislators to thank them for a great, great year for the Florida College System. And as Marty will report on his budget, we fared much better than we all thought we would have fared just 4 or 5 months ago. So we'll be thanking our legislators for their support. And that concludes my general update.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask a question. In the president's report, I was privy, and I don't know how many other trustees, there was a video that came out, I think it was 2-3 minutes on women's suffrage put together. It deserves a national award. It is fantastic. It was put out by the Women's and Men's Center. And perhaps in one of our future meetings, they could show it up on the screen for 2 or 3 minutes. It is hard work by the people, whoever put it together, and it just grabs you and tells you the work that we do here at Daytona State College. And I think the trustees need to share in that moment and see how hard they've worked to put that together and what went into it. It deserves a national award, in my opinion.
We'll get that on an agenda.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we are very pleased to present a salary increase proposal to the board. Again, as many of you know, we were planning to do this, last year, but last year at this time, we didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring, and we certainly have come a long way. And so the increase, again, well deserved by our employees who, just in all aspects, A to Z, went above and beyond to get through this year. Not just get through it, we prospered through this year. We had kids in classrooms. We had phenomenal online classes. We had online tutoring that went into the wee hours of the night because we could adjust our schedule. And so very pleased to be able to present this for the board's consideration.
Just a few comments, and then happy to open it up for more. But, from my perspective, and I think many of my board members will echo this sentiment, you're right. The college has done an amazing job continuing to operate. And they've done that for a stretch of period where, over 10 years now, not raising tuition. So keeping affordability of the student as the number one, driver. But it does take a lot of hard work. And I think it is appropriate that the budget supports it. We still maintain tuition where it was before, and yet offer a raise to the hardworking people that made it all possible. So,
if I may add to that, in these times, and what we requested from our educators, and how many did double work and double time and double situations, absolutely, I'll make that motion.
I just want to concur with what the chairman said. It's a long time in coming. It's something that's deserved, and I'm happy to be able to participate to say, yes, let's take care of our staff and make sure that they're as competitive with other state colleges or whatever. But they need it, and it's long overdue. Thank you so much.
I can have a motion then?
So move. Second.
Any other discussion or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion passes.
Great. Thank you. And as we bring forward every year is the salary plan. And as we discussed in our individual meetings, there are adjustments that we have made to the plan as mentioned, we're not only trying to recruit but retain our employees. So this is a step, and we hope to be able to visit this over the next few years. We're making adjustments accordingly, with a lot, some driven by the market, but obviously some driven by federal requirements for exempt employees, and then also trying to stay ahead of the curve a little bit with minimum wage requirements that are coming down, but also wanting to stay competitive for retention of our employees, as well as the ability to recruit new employees when needed.
A motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. And that concludes my report.
Great. We'll move on then.
You're not going to talk about artichokes?
No artichokes. Yep.
The approval of the workforce affiliation agreement. Brian?
Thank you. This agreement came to the board in April, and it was with Lucas Contractors Incorporated. Y'all approved the agreement subject to us being able to work out insurance with Lucas Construction. We were not able to work out the insurance arrangements with Lucas Construction. So this one is to go with HBH, which will be the owner of the property, and directly contract with HBH. It's set to start July 1st. We have worked out the agreement and insurance in that we'll add the district board as additionally insured to their policy, and we will add HBH to our policy. I've talked to our insurance company last week, this week, and in April, and they are good with the program. They know these aren't this one, specific one is not done around the state, but they have, I don't know how many colleges doing workforce, and they either do it on site or out in the community. Like I said, this will start July 1st. Mr. Snyder is here. He runs the program. We're in constant communication with him at least the last 2 days. And so the instructor will be on site at all times. If there's any work they don't want them to do, then the instructor has the right to pull them off. You also have the right to terminate the agreement with 3 days' notice. So this is not a long term. This is a kind of a pilot for this summer and fall, and it may turn into a longer term. We have a lot of affiliation agreements with dentist offices, doctor's offices, hospitals, and other private nonprofit corporations. So it's along those lines. We're also doing the same type of work at the ATC that we'll be doing on site. In fact, even do more at the ATC. And we still, like I said, we'll work out that insurance before we start July 1st.
And I, as I mentioned earlier, so just another example of bringing theory to a real live lab. As much as we do at the ATC, it's not an actual work site. So I think this will give us value added to the program.
And Brian, just so I can clarify, you said you would still work out the insurance, but you're comfortable that we can add them, they will add us, and between those two, you believe the liability issue is appropriately managed?
Yes. I mean, we have our insurance company has definitely agreed. I talked to them on Monday. HBH told me today that they think their insurance company will do the same. And it does not cost any additional money for us to add someone as an additional insured. But I don't think the risks are any higher than we have probably working at the doing the same program at the ATC.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Questions or discussion? Further questions or discussion?
Can you share why what the hang up was with Lucas? Because I remember in our original presentation we thought we were going to be okay there. What happened?
We were advised by Mr. Lucas when he contacted his insurance company, they would not agree to insure this board. And the college, which is this board. So they just would not name us as an additional insured. I do not think, and maybe Mr. Snyder knows, I don't know that they're even doing the work now.
He's no longer, they've gone on to a different
contractor.
I think Mr. Lucas's thought process when he got involved is not what was real. I don't think he'd ever been to a house when he came here. We had that initial meeting. Since then, he went to a house. I think he was a little bit surprised on the type of renovation that he was going to be doing.
The other issue with that setup, Randy, is a good question, is that it makes more sense to have the agreement with HBH because they were never committed to just one contractor. So it could the contractor can change job by job, house by house. As they acquire a house, they'll competitively look for a contractor to do it. So, and that was shared in that initial meeting that, hey, maybe Lucas will be the one for a long time or maybe not. So I think as they thought through, because it's a new program, it just made better sense to have it with them. They, because they're the entity that's going to continue to be here and purchase the houses and, and be involved in the whole program of affordable housing.
Okay, any other questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Facilities.
Yes, Chris.
Good afternoon.
Okay, the first item that we have today is our annual capital improvement program that we put together for the state. It's a state requirement every year that we submit our top-rated projects that'll go to the state for next year's consideration. So really, we just need you guys to approve this before we send it out to the state due in July.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, very good. Our next item that we have is the educational plant survey. This is a survey that's generates our need for projects within our campuses, and it's based on our full-time students that we have, the numbers. This comes out every 5 years. The state requires us to submit this every 5 years. It was pushed back 1 year because of COVID last year, because we had to have a consultant to help us with that. So we do have it prepared and ready for submission also in July to the state.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, very good. The last one that I have is final payment to the contractor for the carpeting at the News Journal Center. Next time you go there, it'll look very different because it's all been finished. Because this was a board action item, we will need approval to make that final payment to the contractor.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Very good. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Marty, on to finance.
Good afternoon. With the month of June, always brings a fairly lengthy list of items for the finance department, so we'll tackle them one by one. So why don't we jump right in with the financial report for the period ending May 31st, 2021. As usual, we show the comparison of the budget to actual on the revenue side. Good news is we've collected now 100% of our tuition and fees that we budgeted, and that's all in tuition and all fees. So we'll see in a later slide, although in-state tuition was down some, we recovered that in some of the other fee areas. But meeting the budget is still meeting the budget, so we're happy there. Sliding down, we've now brought in $43.5 million of our state revenues. That's 85%. That might feel a little light at this point of the year. We're 1 month out from year end, so that's just over 91% of the year incurred. The reason being there is simply a timing difference. As you know, we've gotten that 6% state holdback release back to the colleges. So we had to incorporate it into the budget, but it has not yet been received until this coming month of June. So that creates a little bit of a drop in the percentage there when you do budget to actual. Moving down, $7.5 million of the other revenues collected to date, 80%. Very similar here. We have spring dual enrollment that we're right in the process of invoicing and billing for. That's to the tune of right around $1 million. So if you add that to the 7.5, it would put you right at 90% and right on target for the point in time we are. And moving down, 2.8, 100% of the board transfers have been realized. So all in, we're at $80.8 million collected, 90% of our operational budget of $90.3 million.
Marty, did that state revenue already come in the month of June, or is it still?
I believe certain components have, but not all. I think there's one or two that we're still waiting on. Okay, so moving over to the expense side of the budget, we've expended $51.6 million, or 80% of the personnel budget, $20.3 million, or 86% of the current expenses and encumbrances. Of that number, actual expenses are $18.2 million, and encumbrance make up the leftover $2.1 million. Moving down, $1.6 million of our capital outlay budget has been obligated. 84%, and actual expenses of that are $1.5 million. The remaining $53,000 is tied up in encumbrances tied to purchase orders. So in total, total obligations for the period ending May 31st, we have $73.5 million obligated, or 81% of our budget. And if you remove the encumbrances, the very bottom there, it's $71.3 million, or 79% of the budget. So as you can, you know, as you can see, we're going to clearly finish the year under budget in all expense categories, which is just a testament to cost containment. Some of the measures we put in place, you know, recruiting, putting a 2-week delay on most new positions that we recruited for. Current expenses are down because of less travel, just less supplies utilized in a COVID type environment. Temporary employment was down, so we did a good job just keeping the budget controlled from an expense standpoint. This slide shows our fund balance and where we project the fund balance to land, but it's only through the May 31st period. So you can see, I'll direct you down to the $17.1 million is projected as of May 31st. You'll see further in my budget presentation, we kind of get a little better picture of where we might land. This just simply says beginning fund balance plus current revenues less expenses to come up with final projected fund balance, whereas later in the budget presentation we really look at year-end adjustments and some things that can really move the target a bit. So just keep that in mind when we get to that. Okay, this slide shows our comparison year over year of our revenues. As you can see, the current year we've collected 90% of our revenue budget versus 93% at the same point in time last year. Pretty consistent. This slide is our 3-year analysis of tuition and fees. This is what I alluded to earlier. So in total, you can see $26.9 million, almost $27 million collected to date, which is right on our budget number in total. So if you go up to the in-state tuition number, that's where we took a, you know, that's where the drop-off is. That equates to about 8%. In total, $26 million compared to the $27.9 last year is about a 3.7% deficit. We budgeted 3% down. So I feel like through the month of June, we should hit right at that 3% mark that we budgeted in total. The good part about the in-state tuition, of course, we can utilize our federal stimulus, HERF funds, to reclaim the lost revenue. So that deficit between the 18.1 and the 19.7 last year, we can recuperate through lost revenue with the CARES Act funding, which we plan to do so. Okay, on the expense side, this is the budget to actual. And it just shows that at the same point last year, 80% of our personnel expenses were realized versus 84%. Current expenses, 86% realized versus 85%, and capital, 84% versus 76% at the same point in time through May last year. It's fairly consistent as well. I did want to point out, yeah, one item that's not on your, not on the slide here, but in your packet, the expense monitor, I think it's on page 337, you will notice a spike in the expenses for the month of May. And that was, if you recall, earlier this year, we took to the board, the governor's executive order gave us that flexibility to transfer funds from Fund 7 Capital Project Fund to Fund 1 to help support operations. Last month, you'll recall, we took to the board a memo to move those funds back to Fund 7. So that was $4.5 million that went from Fund 1 to Fund 7, which is causing that spike in that expense monitor if you saw it on the chart in your packet. Okay, shifting gears a little bit over to our Fund 7 Capital Projects Fund. This slide just depicts the activity of Fund 7. Revenues, expenses, and ending projected fund balance as of the date of the report. Here's a summary of that slide: beginning fund balance of $41.1 million, cash and appropriations received of $4.7 million, total expenses of $12 million, actual expenses $11 million with close to $1 million in encumbrances still. So that brings it down to a net fund balance per the May 31st report of $33.9 million. Of that, $15.2 million is committed to date, and the other $18.6 million is uncommitted. This slide depicts the major capital projects that are in progress still. We have eight at this point in time. $28.6 million is the estimated cost for all eight projects. And you can see, as outlined, the expected completion date. I just want to reiterate, you know, sometimes we change these dates. You know, they're initially just estimates, and then we, you know, we move them out as it gets closer and the projects wind down. It doesn't necessarily mean that we might not occupy a new building sooner. It's really the date we put on here is more when it'll come off the books and the accounting records as well, meaning all purchase orders have been closed out, invoices paid, contractors, you know, shirt up, and the whole nine. So sometimes there's a little bit of a lag between the date on here and the occupancy date of the new building. Last slide here shows our completed projects in the current fiscal year. It's the three that we've highlighted last month as well. $5.8 million total cost. And that concludes the report, financial report for May 31st, 2021, unless we have any questions or comments on that component.
Great report, thanks.
Okay. Next item up is an informational item for the board. We show our, for this month, it's our May ACH wire transfers and checks over 50,000. Again, just for informational purposes, and we will bring this each and every month. Okay. This next one is a board memo for our uncollectible student accounts receivable. We do an analysis each year of those receivables that are now 3 years old, where the college has taken all measures to collect them through collection agencies. We've, you know, phone calls, referral to the state attorney's office if needed, if they're bad checks, return checks. And so for the 17-18 fiscal year, these amounts are deemed uncollectible at this time, and we need board authorization to write off the $613,876.75. The good news is this number has come down quite a bit. This is our second lowest write-off number in the last decade, per an analysis we did. Not to say that we won't ever collect on these, because as you can see there, the $102,843, that's actually old debts that were previously written off. And when kids come back to school, they have a hold on their records, or they need a transcript, and they'll have to pay off those debts to get it resolved. So we collected $102,000 on previously written off debt just in this fiscal year alone, which is a pretty good number.
A motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
One last comment on that. I know Trustee Lubai had a good comment when we talked about that in our individual sessions. We do set up an allowance for doubtful accounts on those receivables. There was a sufficient allowance to cover the $600,000. The caveat to that, of course, is that you have to reinstate the allowance. So each year it does, we do charge a bad debt expense. And just wanted to make that clear that we do reserve an allowance for those bad debts. And we also budget the bad debt expense for the current year portion that will hit.
And to bring the trustees up to date, when I first came, I think 11 years ago, we had to write off almost $2.5 million that was there. So we've come a long way, and thank you.
And down from $1 million last year, it was another pretty big year. So we're pleased with that number. Okay, next item is our deferred maintenance funding proposal. Very common for the last several years with the drying up of PICO funds from the state. We use these funds for renovation and remodeling, maintenance, repair, and to help, you know, fund our Fund 7 facilities planning salaries and benefits. This year we're proposing to take it out of the board designated reserve in Fund 7, which there's a healthy reserve there to be able to do this. So in total, we're asking, the recommendation is to the board to allocate $3,386,417 from the board designated reserve for this purpose, the deferred maintenance and salaries.
A motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. Next up is budget transfer requests. You know, each year this is also a very common practice that the college utilizes to help Fund 7, our, the one that we just spoke about, to beef up the reserves in Fund 7 for future capital projects. Again, PICO funding's been light over the last several years. And the second component is a Fund 1 to Fund 3 transfer up to $2 million. To do some college initiatives that you might not be able to do out of typical state funding. So we're a little different this year. We're just asking for up to amount authorization amounts so that we can continue in the month of June and do our due diligence and make sure we're comfortable with the amount of the exact transfer we want to move over to those respective funds. But this will give us the authorization to do up to $10 million for Fund 7, up to $2 million for Fund 3. And we'll certainly come below those numbers.
I will make a motion, but perhaps you need to tell everybody what the PICO fund are. Maybe our board members don't really know what the PICO funds are and why it's going down the other way.
I may not know all the details. Bob, you have a pretty good understanding of this yourself. We spoke on our one-on-ones, but the public education capital outlay is what the PICO funds, you know, what it stands for. It's funded, if I'm not mistaken, from the motor vehicle. It would be
the phone tax, the
hardline the tax.
Phone tax, and people don't have hardline phone tax anymore. So it's again, it's been a fund. We haven't been able to get funding to do renovations and remodels and even general maintenance. So we're having to just manage it ourselves. So that's the, and I know that the legislatures, legislators are trying to figure out a different source of funding on that. But I'm not sure I've heard of a solution yet. But that used to be a very healthy fund, as you can imagine. Everyone used to have a hardline phone, and we used to get the benefit of that tax. And that's just diminished over the years.
And several years ago, with a different governor. Because of the bond ratings in the state of Florida, even though we had lots of money in the PICO funds, he froze the funds, as they did the Sadorsky funds, so that he could show that the state of Florida had a great budget, and so the bond rating would be AAA or that way, and he would not allow us to touch the money, even though it was there and designated as the Sadorsky funds. So to keep the bond ratings at AAA in the state of Florida for years, the funds were frozen, so that's why we have to use it from our balance. That's basically the PICO funds, utility taxes.
Yep. Thank you, Trustee Davis. This will require board action as well.
Have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. And Marty, thanks. I assume you'll report back at the next meeting what the actual number was.
I can certainly do that. Yeah, we'll have that number by the August meeting for sure. Okay, another board memo. This is for our Daytona campus infrastructure improvements project. So, with the demolition and the new construction all around our Daytona Beach campus, as everyone's seen, and we continue to do, it's requiring some emphasis on infrastructure improvements such as sidewalks, signage, benches, lighting, to make the campus more cohesive. And this is just that. We would like to utilize our board designated reserves in Fund 7 to the tune of $800,000 to take care of some of the infrastructure improvements that are much needed at this point in time.
Motion?
So moved.
Second. Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. And last but not least is our budget presentation for next fiscal year. we've been through this in pretty good detail with each board member, so I'll try to keep it a little more brief, perhaps, but we'll still hit the highlights, and please feel free to chime in, slow me down, or ask questions along the way. First up just shows our planning and design principles for the budget. You know, it's a very inclusive process. We get all departments involved, mission-driven. We really have a lot of input from everybody, from, you know, facilities, campus safety, academics. It's a process that works well. It's aligned with our strategic planning process. And I think this year was no different. We had all hands on deck, and it really went well. Next slide shows the description of the funds of the college. As you may know, we have 9 funds. This particular budget is required, that the required funds to be presented to the board and state are Fund 1 Operating Fund and the Fund 7 Capital Projects Fund. So that is the 2 funds that we really highlight in the board in the presentation here. Okay, the budget priorities. I'll draw your attention to the bottom piece. This is where we ask for use of our fund balance reserves in Fund 1. Very common, similar projects, equipment refresh, risk management insurance assessment, TV station direct support, and grant matching funds. Later in the presentation, we have a slide that attaches dollars to each of those components and then the total amount that will come out of that reserve. Okay, the key budget points for this particular year, I think it came up earlier in a meeting by Dr. Howard, this is our 11th year in a row that tuition and fees will stay flat. From an enrollment perspective, we went back to a pre-pandemic year, the 2019-20 fiscal year, and budgeted 3% off where we actually landed in that year. For perspective, that's about a 1.75% uptick from the current pandemic year, so we feel it's right in the sweet spot where we quite possibly could achieve. If we fall short, we know for the next year or two we do have the federal stimulus dollars that can help us recuperate those lost revenues. Moving down, we did get the special project funding for the non-recurring dollars for the Flagler Palm Coast Nursing Program, $200,000. Deltona, we got the last component of state funding, PICO funds, for the Deltona building, $3.8 million. Very pleased with that. And then performance funding just below that, $345 and $295 for a total of $640 related to performance funding. And last but not least is the TV station. We did get funded one additional year. That typically lands in about the $300,000 to $320,000 range. So we were pleased with that as well. Overall, very good year for the Florida College System. I think Dr. Labasso alluded to that. We were pleased to get additional funding. A year ago, you'll remember, we had some of our funds taken from us. It was from our fund balance reserves. This year, they restored those funds, and we got additional funding on top of that. Okay, the student fees, we're recommending no change to these student fees. These are all the other student user fees that are not attached to tuition, such as access, distance learning, graduation. Again, we propose keeping those flat for next year. These slides just simply show the comparison of tuition and fees, lower division and next is upper division. No change year to year. Tuition is flat and related fees as well. Okay, moving on to the student enrollment slide here. I'll just bring your focus to the bottom right here. The $27,410,796 is the total tuition and fee revenue budget for next year. For perspective, this year was just under $27 million. We saw it in the earlier presentation. So there's about a $400,000 increase in projected revenue in this area of the budget. Okay, this was the slide that I alluded to earlier. I think it gives a better picture where we might land at the end of this fiscal year. We were trying to project fund balance, where the revenues will come in, where the expenses will come in through the remainder of the year. So again, down to the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see it, $8,278,000 is our projected rollover amount. It is still just an estimate, but we feel, you know, it's a pretty solid estimate. And certainly what's allowing us to do some of those transfers I just mentioned from Fund 1 to Fund 7, Fund 1 to Fund 3. You know, we typically don't like to hold too high of a reserve balance in the Fund 1, and the state certainly looks at this as well. So we typically do the transfers where the areas are needed in Fund 7 capital projects and our auxiliary funds. This is a comparison of our state appropriations, just a snapshot of what we got last year is the $51 million and versus the $52.8 million. So in total, a 1.75 just above increase in state appropriations alone. 200,000 of that is the non-recurring Flagler Nursing Project I spoke of earlier. So again, a good year all in all for Florida College System and Daytona State College. So in total, we're looking at an $86,620,466 budget. This slide shows the revenue components and the expense components of the budget. So the $1.9 million increase, it's an increase from last year's starting budget that was approved by the board and the state. That $1.9 can be broken down into two parts, $1.5 million being the state revenues that I just spoke of, more state appropriations. The other $400,000 is the enrollment and student tuition and fee piece. So as that translates over to the expense side of the budget, you'll see the personnel side is a bit higher than last year's personnel. And as Dr. Labasso mentioned earlier, you know, between the raises and the salary plan adjustments, we're pouring the increase in the budget right back into our primary asset, which is our faculty and staff, and we're just real pleased that we're able to do that this year. Okay, moving over to our capital project budget, Fund 7. The $44 million is our projected starting point. That does take into account what we project the transfer to be before year end. A couple items to highlight are the $3.8 million for Deltona and the $2.8 million, which is coming from our Fund 3 auxiliary to be used for the multi-purpose field we plan on beginning next year. And that's outlined in the expense side. Moving on down is the proposed use of fund balance. So as much as we transfer funds from Fund 1 to 7 periodically, you can see that we do have some hefty projects that do cut into those reserves. So that slide right there kind of shows what we plan on doing. New projects and some are carryover projects, like the Flagler Building 1 is just a continuation of an ongoing project. This slide simply shows the same numbers, just in a different presentation by funding source. So it's local, PICO, CODS, and bond and other funding sources. This is the slide that I referred to earlier, which will show down there at the bottom with note number 8, the proposed use of fund balance for Fund 1. $1,687,082, and as it's highlighted at the bottom there, equipment refresh $600,000, grant matching $425,000, the risk management assessment $212,000, and TV station support $450,000. So similar to years past, that's the proposed use and initial spending plan for some of those reserves in Fund 1. This more clearly shows the transfers that we plan on doing between funds during the course of the year. All of these transfers are very typical and reoccurring year to year. The only new one is the $2.8 million I just mentioned for the multi-purpose field going from Fund 3 to Fund 7. All the others are again, very common. We always have the debt service payment, scholarships for our athletics, grant matching, TV station, and the marketing and hospitality. So with that, I will field any questions or comments on the budget for next year.
Have a motion?
I'll make the motion, and I would like to thank Marty for a fantastic report. And if Farouk Hosseini was here right now, she'd give you a pat on the back.
Thank you, sir.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Great. Thank you.
Okay. Lynn, was that the is that the formal approval? Okay. Just wanted to I wanted to highlight that as part of approving the overall $86.6 million budget, that does include the transfers as outlined in the budget presentation. Anytime we do a transfer from one fund to another, certainly fund one to another, it requires board approval. So just know that that's part of the approval.
With that, thank you, Marty.
Great. Thank you.
Move over to academic affairs.
Amy.
Dr. Lockwood's got a short list today, it looks like.
All right, thank you. The first item is a pilot program that we would like to try with our bookstore. There is an agreement that requires approval in this process. Looking at the cost of instructional materials, a number of colleges around the state that use Follett for a bookstore are using their Follett Access program. So we would like to pilot this program this fall using three courses and four sections in the business program. Right now, we anticipate about 160 to enroll in these classes. The difference is the cost of the materials, in this case it's a digital textbook, would be included in the course fee. Although students may opt out of that, but when they opt in, it's considered opt-in until they tell us no, but they have the opportunity to say they do not want to do this. It gives them a substantial savings on the digital textbook. So these are the books that we would propose using in these two account or an accounting class and two business classes. Retail cost for the digital book for the first one, for example, is $175.50. It would be $100 through Follett Access. And so the agreement that you have is an amendment to our existing Follett bookstore agreement to try this pilot for the fall A term, and we would evaluate whether students opted out or used it and whether they found it useful. The other advantage of this is that they all have the book on the first day of class so that they are prepared from day one with a cheaper option.
And I'd like just to add that that's a big part of what's good about this. Obviously, the reduction in cost is, as you can see, tremendous. But, you know, we do know that some of our students, for whatever reason, delay buying that book. This puts that aside. So at day one, maybe they get access even a day or two, I'm not sure, before the class, but they have the book. So it really goes to the heart of retention, so that they have the book and can hit the assignments from day one and not, you know, whether they're waiting for their next paycheck to pay for that book, you know, a week into the semester, that takes that issue off the table and that gets them the book in hand day one.
A couple quick questions. If a student withdraws, they sign up for the course, they're charged the fee, but they withdraw before your drop-out date. What happens to the fee?
I'm going to look at Charisse, who did the business process for this.
We'll get a report if anyone opts out, and the charge will be removed from their account.
Okay. And then if they want, can they also, I know some of these electronic ones, that for an extra fee, they can get a copy of the book or a digital printout of the book. Do you know if they can?
I'm not sure if that's an option on these particular three texts, but I can find out. I think this was just the digital book, but I know what you're talking about. It's like with any digital book, you can pay a little extra and get the printout. I don't want to say that for sure without checking.
We'll find out.
Okay.
Need a motion? So moved.
Second.
Any other questions or discussion?
All I can say is I'm always for these types of things. for moving this cost down.
You can vote twice, maybe.
What's that? Yes. So I'm in favor.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Aye. Motion passes.
Thank you. The next item is the approval of the lab fee recommendations for the upcoming academic year. You have in your packet the number of lab fee deletions, decreases, increases, and new lab fees. I'll point out that some of these deletions and new lab fees are us changing out curriculum. So, for example, the barbering classes are listed as lab fee deletions and new lab fees because the curriculum changed from the state. We had to change each course number. And when we do that, we have to take it off one list and put it on the next. Health careers, you see a number of them in radiography. We moved that program from a hospital-based program to be here on campus in our labs. And in previous board meetings, you've seen us bring you the curriculum that reworked a lot of that. It combines some classes. So there's actually a great reduction in fees in that program. But you'll see, again, some of those on both the deletion list and the decrease list. I'll be happy to answer any specific questions about fees on the list.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Yeah, questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
And just a reminder that lab fees are direct cost pass-throughs, so I use the frog in the biology class example. So if the frog costs $10 for that class, to us, it costs $5 to the student. So it's a direct pass-through. There's no margin on it on those lab fees.
You go to Randy's Creek and catch them.
Okay, constituent heads?
Yes. All right. I don't know if she is here. Adrienne Tolls-Williams, not here. She is the new SGA president, who doesn't officially begin until August, so hopefully she'll be here in August to do her presentation. For Administrative Council, Dr. Alicia Ellert.
Good afternoon. I'm too short for this microphone. Okay. So, as I mentioned the last time I reported for the Admin Council, we've been continuing our discussion about diversity initiatives at the college. And so John Brady reported to us about offering some face-to-face trainings to staff who hadn't yet completed the online portion of our diversity EDU training and how he worked to tailor that to those staff positions, essentially talking about how their role plays into the bigger picture. And then we went on to continue discussing how we will further this discussion. And John reminded us about the 5-year process through the Title III grant. And within that, we'll be bringing in keynote speakers and other subject matter experts, but also continuing the discussion in faculty development cohorts, in committee work, and also in college-wide forums. So I think I've mentioned this in past reports, but this is now a standing item for the Admin Council, so the future chairperson will probably continue reporting on this to you. But it has been a really wonderful discussion within the council. We also discussed homecoming events and the process for planning the 5K, if indeed that's what we move forward with in the fall. We're just trying to get ahead of it. So as soon as we receive word, we'll know what we're doing. So I'd like to say thank you to Neil Clemens, Kristen Hansen, Frank Mercer, and Clarence McLeod for agreeing to be part of a planning committee for the 5K. And this is my last report as the chairperson for the Admin Council. So I just want to take a moment and say thank you to my fellow officers. So Dr. Carla Moore served as our vice chairperson for the last 2 years. And she had to fill in for me way too often in the last 2 years, but she always did it with grace and positivity. And I also just want to say thank you to her for her work with our bylaws committee, where she revised our bylaws, which had needed some attention for a while. Thank you to Dr. Andrea Gibson, who served as our secretary for the last 2 years. She is one of the most organized people I know on the planet. And so if you need some organization tips, please seek her out. But she was able to streamline our minutes and include action items, and she always kept me on track.
And then a thank you to Alicia Alexander, who served as our treasurer, and she will also be the one taking over as chairperson starting next month. But she has added a lot to the treasurer's report and put some processes in place, and we've also implemented a new optional membership fee. And she's done a fantastic job in that role, and I know that she'll continue on with the council in a very positive way. Finally, I'd like to say thank you to all of you for continuing to support all of the constituency groups, including Admin Council, and also for all the support that you give our students and towards their learning, and also the support that you give to our staff and our faculty. It's really wonderful to be part of such an amazing team, and the board, our senior administration, and all the faculty and staff, we definitely need to continue working on all of this together. So thank you very much. I've appreciated working with you in this capacity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our Career Employee Association, Amanda Schroyer. I saw Amanda there. She is.
The CEA is still looking for volunteers to join our officers. We're still not having much luck with that, and we found out our treasurer just switched over to the professional council, to that next level, not the council, but, you know, the next group. So we no longer have a treasurer again. So we have we need a VP, a secretary, and a treasurer. Also, we have chosen our CEA Employee Recognition Award for June, Teresa Campbell. She is in the School of Emergency Services. So we have that for June, and so we'll be sending out our next round for July. And we're getting a little bit of feedback with that. So we're hoping that we can continue on with that award program. So that's very nice. But that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. And we don't have a report this month from Faculty Senate, so we're going to go on to Billy Joe Dunaway for Professional Council.
Last but not least, I'm always last. Okay, Professional Council met May 21st, where we had a presentation from Liz Barnes about our COVID call to care, which is very meaningful to us professionals as a group to get together and talk about those things. We called for our award nomination. This month was our mentor award, and we're happy to announce that Deborah Leonard is our award recipient. We honor her for her mentoring in both the Academic Support Center, where she works, and the two student clubs that she sponsors. Next month, we're going to do a spotlight award highlighting professionals who excel in their job duties. We have filled our vacant secretary position, so we'll be finalizing that at our meeting when we meet on June 25th. And we're also, at that time, going to learn more about the group Minority Sisters on the Rise. If you haven't seen their YouTube video, I highly recommend it. And we also are going to watch the video from the Center of Women and Men about the celebration of the 100 years of the women's right to vote. So thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. That concludes the constituent head group.
Great. Thank you. Got just a few comments and then pass it over to my fellow board members. But just three things I heard today as we talked that kind of make it come full circle for me. You know, if you read our mission statement, and I remember Marianne challenging us to do that at the front of every meeting there. There was a couple things that caught my eye. You know, I think the quality of our academic degree programs and the outcomes is, you know, it's the measuring stick. It's how we're doing. So as Randy said, I also enjoy hearing those presentations that we've heard from, you know, the Department of Education, from the law enforcement, from nursing, from quite a few programs. Because it is the quality outcomes that then empower our students to go out and change their lives and change the lives of those in the community. Affordability, the fact that, you know, the one little small bullet on Marty's presentation, 11th year with no tuition increases, that's just amazing. I mean, you're hard-pressed to find too many institutions or too many businesses, for that matter, that would say they did not raise their price for 11 years in a row. And that, again, goes right back to the mission of providing affordable education for the folks in the community. And then, of course, you know, it although we are a college, it's a business, and so the budget is you can't do either of those if you can't balance the budget. And I think it was a great testament to Tom and his entire team that they were able to keep those quality outcomes, they were able to keep the affordability metrics in check, and yet we were able to have what I think is a very reasonable and appropriate increase for our employees, because they're the ones that make it happen. And so my kudos to the team, and that's all I'll say today, and we'll run around the room here.
So. Going with your statement about not raising your tuition, how many years ago, 11 years ago, Tom Labasso, the president of Daytona State College, reduced our tuition in the state. We were the only community college, and I think it was Governor Scott that applauded Tom. It started here in Daytona Beach by the great work of our president, Tom Labasso, and eventually some of the other colleges were forced to follow Daytona State. So thank you, Tom. Thank you for your team. And one more little anecdote to the PICO funds. Several years ago, most of you remember, you checked into a hotel. It cost you $1 to use the phone, $2 for long distance. That's part of the PICO funds. That was millions and millions and millions of dollars throughout the state, not just home phones, that went to the PICO funds. So they're no longer there because nobody uses a phone in the room. Everybody has a cell phone. But just stop and think, if you remember those little cards you had on the telephone and you had to dial a special number and it was $2 for long distance and $1. So that's part of the PICO funds that have disappeared. And thank you for all you do, and love being here with the trustees.
And I actually just reminded myself that I'm not following my agenda, so I need one more quick motion before we go around the horn here.
Uh-oh.
To appoint a board member to serve on the foundation board with the departure of Marianne. And I understand that Trustee Daugherty, who is not here, has had some conversations with President Labasso and is interested and willing to do that. I think she'd be a great choice, so if anyone else agrees with me, if they can make a motion.
I do, and especially since she's not.
I completely agree with that.
I agree. Yeah.
The following tradition.
The following tradition, when you're not here, you get appointed.
So we have a motion and
a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Great. So congratulations, Sarah. And Randy, over to you. And it's an important role.
Yes.
She's doing it.
Yes. Well, I just, we've talked a lot over the last several months about the great job that the team has done through unprecedented times. This today was a tangible presentation of that fact, to be able to be, to present a budget, to manage expenses. I'm really going to say what you said already, Randy. I think it's remarkable to be able to give an increase to, all of the professional staff and the staff in general. At the same time, not increasing tuition and certainly not placing the burden for that increase on the backs of the students that we're here to serve. So it's just amazing to watch. And I appreciate these presentations in the workshop. I think it makes you go out of here just wanting to shout about how good of an institution it is. It's certainly, I hearken back to the days of my first visit to Daytona Beach. I was 15 years old, and I said, maybe I'll go to college there one day. Having not done that, being on the board is probably it's ironic and very fulfilling. So thank you.
Boyd.
Again, it's always a pleasure coming here to these meetings. I look forward to it. I look forward to meeting and greeting the folks here. And to Dr. Labasso, the wonderful staff that you have that assist you, and you do the outstanding job. And I know without them, you couldn't do it. And I just want to say, just keep doing what you're doing. Don't give up. Take care of your folks. I remember an old saying, I used to have a little sign in my office that says, neglect your soldiers and they will go away. So it's the same thing. If you take care of your people, they'll take care of you and take care of this great institution. Thanks for what you and your folks do. I really appreciate it.
Gary?
Again, I want to applaud Dr. Locklear and her team around the book pilot. This sounds like it's got great potential. My only question really was why only three books, but that I'm sure more will follow. I'm just trying to find out, and I would be interested to learn, aside from this meeting, you know, are there any potential pitfalls or downfalls to this? But of course, that's why you pilot something too, to see if there are any unintended consequences. So great job there. And as has been pointed out here today, when you take a look at what we have done with the salary administration plan and the increases that we're doing, to Lloyd's point, recognition of those efforts and that adaptability and ingenuity, and at no other time has there been more adaptability than ingenuity and ingenuity than this past 12 to really, well, now probably 15 months, if you really start to think about it, and how quickly we did that. So that's a recognition of those efforts, and Tom, I applaud you for leading that charge and bringing that before us here today. Very proud that we were able to approve that and recognize all these folks and their teammates that are out there on our campuses as well. So thank you. And it, as said before, it's an honor to be on this Board of Trustees.
Thank you, Gary. With that, we will adjourn the meeting.